We're doing a project together as a church. We're building a house for a mother and four children who are being tutored by the city mission. I don't know that our church has ever done anything that I'm more proud of. I also want to remind you that every penny of this house was either donated or given in a special gift that was designated by you. Not one penny of it came out of the general fund. So the whole house is being done by donations, people in our church volunteering to work, and the designated giving that you gave. This is, we got the house sited this week. Go back to the siting picture for a minute. Doesn't that look beautiful, church? You can't see it, but the siding is vertical, not horizontal. The front porch, it's just beautiful. All right, let's see the inside. This is the kitchen. My buddy Don sprayed out the floor so they know exactly where the cabinets in the middle island goes, and we're supposed to get the sprayed on insulation this week and the gas hookup, and then the furnace will be on and we'll get the drywall in, and we're moving right along, and every time we do something that is kind of a major step, I want you to see it. I take this as a... someday your heavenly Father will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Thanks for helping me on that project. Oh Lord, you are a God infinite in wisdom. And in your wisdom you have determined that we only become great souls through struggle. You don't spoil your children. You ask us to engage in the struggles of life so we can be matured into the great souls that you desire us to be. So I pray that you'd help me to speak about this idea today in a way that your Holy Spirit can use. In Christ's name, amen. I have observed in life that struggle is a good thing. And we become something by struggle that we can't become any other way. I have observed in life that entitlement ruins people. When they don't have to struggle and everything is just placed before them, it ruins them. When I think about my life and you think about your life, the most meaningful things in your life are connected to struggle. If you want to learn a foreign language, you have to struggle. But if you're willing to do that struggle, you get the reward of being able to read the Greek New Testament. If you're going to ever achieve at the top of your business, you have to struggle. You have to work hard. You have to solve problems. You become more and more proficient in your career by the struggles that you engage in. And there's no such thing as a good marriage without some struggle. We struggle together. It's bonding. Friendships have struggles. Struggles create incredible camaraderie. Read Stephen Ambrose's book, The Band of Brothers. And God understands that struggle is a good thing for us, even if culture doesn't teach us that. And as we've been looking at Paul's advice to Timothy, we come to 1 Timothy 6:11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. This is a reference to what we studied last week. Flee an approach to life where you love things more than you love God and people. Flee from that. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfast, and gentleness. There are two commands in this verse. And the first command is flee. In my life, I have to consciously run away from this pull to love things more than God and people. It is a pull on your life day after day, and I have to consciously run away from it. To spend a life struggling for things that send you into eternity bankrupt and spiritually immature is not wise. To spend a lifetime struggling for the things that grant you the life of the age and send you into eternity spiritually mature, that is wise. And then Paul tells me what I should be struggling for, what it's worth struggling for. He says, hunt righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. The word pursue is literally the Greek word hunt. Go in your life, go hunting. And this is what you're trying to capture. I haven't gone hunting for a long time. It's just too easy to shoot skeet. You don't have to clean them either. But when you hunt, you gotta get up in the morning. You gotta put on your hunting clothes. You gotta go outside. You're not going to hunt in your backyard in Medina. You got to go out into the wilderness. You got to walk around through valleys. You have to struggle in a good hunt. And Paul is saying, think about your life as it's healthy and normal to get up every day and hunt down the right stuff. And then he tells us what we should be hunting for. Number one, righteousness. This word means what is right with God and man. Paul is saying, hunt the habit that consistently does the right thing. Tomorrow when I get up and go to work, I want to hunt the habit of doing what is right. I want to do what's right on the way to work. I want to do what is right at work. I want to do what is right on the way home from work. I want to do what is right when I eat supper with my wife. I want to hunt the quality of doing right. I want to struggle to have a life that is characterized by doing right. It's easy to do the wrong thing. You don't have to struggle at all, church. What parent ever struggled to teach their kids to do bad stuff? Although I did tell my son on several occasions I'd give him $50 if he got sent to the principal's office. Like father, like son. I mean, come on. Don't you want your kids to have the same life experience? No. My son was too good for that, though. He'd always say, no, Dad, I can't do that. You don't have to struggle to do the wrong thing. But I'm going to tell you, if you're really going to be a person who pursues doing what is right, you're going to have to struggle for it. And then he says, you have to struggle for godliness. Remember, this word godliness is probably better translated piety. It's worth struggling to come to the realization that everything good in my life comes from God. Because when I realize that, I love him and trust him in ways that I could never love and trust him without knowing that. It's worth struggling to come to know the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. It's worth struggling for. It's worth the effort. It's worth the energy. Living a life of love and respect for Jesus Christ, because you know everything good in your life comes from him, that is worth the effort to achieve. And then he says faith. How do we define faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the proof of things that cannot be seen. We have to hunt the habit that rests upon hope in the unseen promises of God. Are you able to live by faith and not by sight? Are you struggling to become a person who says, God is so trustworthy, whether I can see it or not, I'm staking that that is what's going to happen? Church, do you really believe that you can hope in him? And do you believe it enough that you're willing to struggle to express that hope in your life? And then the fourth characteristic is love. This is the word for unselfish love. It's easy to love in a selfish way, right? The human race does it all the time. It's easy to love in an unselfish way. You have to struggle to learn how to live. I said that wrong. It's easy to live in a selfish way. You have to struggle to learn how to live in an unselfish way. Hunt a life habit that loves through unselfish service. When you go about your life tomorrow, can you see yourself struggling to love by unselfish service? Doing something a little extra in the morning for people you love. Not following my example, but loving in an unselfish way in traffic. Loving in an unselfish way at work. And not just doing what is required of you, but doing what is good for the people around you. Does anyone have a heart for Christ that says, it is worth me hunting down the ability to live in an unselfish, loving service of others? It's worth it. Or do we take the easy route that says, nobody appreciates it. It doesn't matter at all. Nobody does that kind of stuff anymore. I'm not going to hassle with it. Church? And then he uses this word, number five, patience. It literally means patient perseverance. Hunt a life habit that patiently shows up to do good without giving up. Patient perseverance means you're not a quitter. You show up. You show up when it's easy. You show up when it's tough. You show up when you want to. You show up when you don't want to. You don't listen to the people who talk you into giving up on noble things. You have made it a life commitment to hunt down patient perseverance, and you're striving to be the kind of soul that God can count on thick and thin. I'm saying that is a quality worth struggling for. In my life, the most noble people I have known are people in this church who said, when it gets tough, I don't quit. When people criticize me, I don't quit. When people gossip, I don't quit. When people don't recognize the good I do, I don't quit. Because I'm striving for a quality of soul that patiently perseveres with Christ through everything. Can you hear me, church? I believe that is a quality worth struggling for. And then he uses a very, very rare word, and it's literally two words put together, and it's the words gentle and persuade. It's actually the idea, persuade yourself to be gentle. Is that an interesting word? It's not the word gentle all by itself. It's the word gentle with the verb, persuade yourself to be gentle. Persuade yourself when you start ramping up to soften. When you start getting a hard heart, when you start feeling anger and resentment, persuade yourself to soften. Persuade yourself to be calm. Persuade yourself to treat people around you gently. I'm glad it has the verb on there. It gives me a chance. If I just have to do it naturally, I'm in trouble. But if I get a moment to persuade myself, if I can develop the habit that whispers to me, calm yourself down, I'm going to be a better quality of soul. And Paul says it's worth struggling for. So we have these six virtues, and Paul says they're not going to come to you naturally. You got to hunt them down. They're not going to drop in your lap. You have to pursue them. God's not going to wave a magic wand over you, and you're not going to wake up one morning and be this wonderful person. You have to pursue it, but it's worth pursuing. Then Paul goes on in verse 12 and says, fight the good fight of the faith. The actual word there is the imperative verb that we get our English word from, agonize. Agonize the good agony. Agonizo is the Greek word from which we get the English word agony. But it's not any kind of agony. It's a special kind of agony. Can you remember at some time in your life, maybe you were in school, you were running, and as you started to run, it was easy. But the longer you ran, the harder it got. And then you heard a little voice in your head that said, just walk. Your lungs are burning. Your legs feel heavy. But if you're going to win this race, you can't walk. You have to struggle through the agony and finish the race. This word was used a lot in connection to the Olympic Games. The Olympic Games are the origin, in Greece, are the origin of the Olympic Games that we still celebrate today. They didn't have as many categories. Okay. But they had boxing. You can't win a boxing match without agonizing the good agony. I mean, even Muhammad Ali, God bless him, he got hit in the face one too many times. Right? There's no winning a boxing match without the agony and the struggle of competition. The Greeks loved to wrestle. They were great wrestlers. I wrestled in high school. There's no winning in wrestling without some agony. It's supposed to hurt a little bit, right? But the goal is you make the other person hurt a little more than you do until they give up and you can win. This word comes right out of the struggle of competition. And Paul says, if you can look at an athlete who's willing to struggle to win a perishable Olympic crown. They didn't get medals then. They weaved a little laurel branch and put it on your head. And you took it home and it wilted. The leaves all fell off it. And eventually it got dusty somewhere and somebody threw it away. The best things in life are rarely easy. We have to struggle to achieve them. We endure different levels of agony to accomplish our highest goals. But can I point you to Jesus Christ and say, what he asked us to do, he did himself. He struggled the good struggle. Getting you into heaven wasn't easy. And he struggled to do it. He struggled so that free grace and dying love could forever change us. He struggled so that he could give us freely what we could never get by ourselves. He struggled and died the death we should have died to give us the life that only he has. And so when I struggle the good struggle, when I fully engage in hunting these qualities, I'm simply following the model of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm just being like this awesome one. Could I ask you a few questions? These are for you. They're not for your sister who you wish was at church today. These are for you, not for your spouse, for you to say, man, I hope they're really listening to this. This is for every one of us to ask ourselves. Are you avoiding the good struggle and the good competition? Are you just taking the easiest road through life? Are you dodging the struggle to become the great soul Christ wants you to be? Are you struggling and competing for the wrong things in life? I've seen people struggle right down to their very last breath for nothing more important than to simply prove that their opinion was right. They're willing to lose family members. They're willing to lose friends. They're willing to struggle right down to their very last breath to prove I'm right. Do you think it's worth it? I mean, really, what do you gain by that? Some of you have killed yourself for your career. You're going to reach a certain age. They're going to waltz you out the door. And 2 years after you're gone, nobody will remember you. All right, some of you are awesome 5 years after you're gone. Some days during the week when this place is calm and quiet, I walk down Main Street and I think, someday, somebody's going to sit in my office and they're going to walk down Main Street and they won't know anything about me. It's the nature of life, church. So it makes sense to pay attention what I'm struggling for. Am I struggling for things that are worth struggling for, or am I struggling for things that are only temporary myths, illusions, a day at the fair? One more question. What does the struggle of the faith look like in your life? See, listen to what he says. He says, fight the good fight. Which one? Of faith. Struggle the good struggle. Which one? The struggle of faith. Agonize the good agony. Which one? The one of the faith. In what way this week did you struggle to advance the cause of Christ in your life? In what way did you struggle this week to advance the cause of Christ in your home? Brothers, I want to ask you one more time. You find a little faith and a little courage. You reach out and take your wife's hand once a day and pray together. Just find the faith and the strength and the courage to take the most important person in your life's hand and pray together. I mean, is that a struggle that you're willing to try? Are you willing to struggle for the faith? Does it make sense to you to struggle for the faith? Christianity isn't always easy. In the time I've pastored this church, we've had beautiful times that were just easy. A sixth grade kid could pastor this church. It was so pleasant and so easy. And then we've had days, we've had times where nothing was easy. Everything was difficult. Somebody was grouchy. Somebody was spreading a rumor. We couldn't get the help we needed. Church, are you a Christian who says, Doc, when it's easy, I'll show up? But if it gets a little tough, I just don't need it. Can you hear me, church? Are you willing to struggle for the faith? Is it worth it to you? This afternoon, it's going to be about 10 degrees at Lambeau Field. The wind is going to be blowing. Wisconsin is cold. But people are getting ready right now. They're going to, as many as they will let in, they're going to go to Lambeau Field. They're going to find their place, and they're going to sit outside in 10-degree weather for 4 hours. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those idiots is there doesn't have a shirt on today. Do you know you see those people as... And they're going to brag to their friends tomorrow that they were at the game. They're going to say the struggle was worth every bit of it. Huh? They're going to say, I was as happy to be there today as if it would have been a warm summer day at Progressive Field. Huh? Am I right? You see, this is all wrapped up in what is valuable to me. If Christ is really valuable to me, then I'm going to hunt down the virtues that are pleasing to him. If Christ is really valuable to me, then I'm willing to struggle along with him. If not, then it shows up in my inclination to simply say, not my problem. And for the record, you couldn't pay me enough money to go sit in Lambeau Field today for 4 hours. You give me a ticket free and a free trip there, I'm not going. I'm going to sit in a nice warm place with some of my family members. We're going to watch it on TV. There's heat there. Struggle the good struggle of faith. Agonize the good agony. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Here's the fourth commandment. Get a firm grip on the life of the age. Now remember, I've taught you before about eternal life and the life of the age. When you say eternal life, it sounds like a length of life, a life that lasts forever. The idea, though, in the original text is not a life that lasts forever. It's a quality of life that is enjoyable forever. The life of the age is a quality of life that is so good you say, I hope it's like this forever. Have you had days like this? If only we could make this last. The six virtues that we talked about are the first step in living the life of the age. You see, I come to a point in my life where I say to God, I can't do this without you. Please save me. And through Jesus Christ, God recreates something good in my soul. And then his Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us and to encourage us and help us and teach us to pursue these six virtues. And the better I live those six virtues, the more I am beginning to live the life of the age. Do you see? The more I live the virtue of doing what is right, I'm living the life of the age. I don't have to wait till I die. I'm starting to live it already. The more I live the life of faith, the more I'm living the life of the age. The more I live the life of piety, the more I'm living the life of the age. The more I live the life of love, I'm living the life of the age. Do you see? As these qualities become habits in my life, I'm already living the initial stages of eternal life. I don't wait till I die. I start right now. I start right now living the kind of life that I'm going to live forever. My soul gets acclimated to what it's really going to be like when I am free at last. These virtues are what God calls us to through Christ. Take hold of the life of the age to which you were called. When Christians struggle to live the life of the age in these virtues, we're saying yes to Christ's call on our lives. Do you hear that? Every time you hunt down one of these six virtues, you're saying yes to Christ's call on your life. These virtues are daily exhibited in our confession of Christ. The word confess means to say the same thing. I say the same thing. I agree with God about Jesus Christ in life. All right, now I want to put this all together. I want to create new habits for the new year. This is the third habit I want to work on. This year, I want to work on the habit of struggling for the things that are worth struggling for and to stop wasting my life and my energy on things that aren't worth struggling for. Church, I want to be wiser than I've ever been. I want the best efforts of my life to go in for things that matter, and I want to let some of the nonsense go. All right, how do I do that? Well, first of all, I consciously turn away from loving things more than God and people. I say, I'm not wasting my life on that anymore. Then I say, instead of doing that, I'm going to start hunting doing the right thing every day in my life. I'm going to start hunting living in the awareness that God loves me more than I can imagine, and every good thing in my life comes from Him. I'm going to start hunting faith. I'm going to start hunting unselfish love. I'm going to start hunting patient perseverance. I'm going to start hunting the ability to whisper to myself, calm down. And as I do these things, I struggle to do them, I'm beginning to enter into the kind of life that I'm going to live forever with Jesus Christ. My soul is day by day getting acclimated to eternal life. And so if I do this right, when God calls me, where I go won't be surprising. I'll recognize the place. I will feel like I belong there. My nature will say yes to the place. If you're not struggling for these qualities in your life and you die, heaven could be a very surprising place to you. You might end up saying, this is not what I thought. I thought heaven was Pebble Beach. Can you hear me, church? And so we have this incredible call from Jesus Christ to us to take hold of eternal life. But to do it, we have to struggle the good struggle of the faith. Our dear Heavenly Father, I do believe in you. I do hope in you. I know that every good thing in my life comes from you. I want to stop wasting this precious life that you've given to me. And I want to begin to struggle for the things that are worth struggling for. And I want to let some of the nonsense go. And so I pray that you'd work in my heart. I pray that you'd work in the hearts of the good people who are here this morning. I pray that you work in the hearts of the people who are watching online. And I pray that together we could begin to obey your command, struggle the good struggle of the faith. Take hold of eternal life. In Christ's name.